Castology.
Hello and welcome to Castology. I am Zane C. Weber, one of your castologists, and this is Castology, the podcast where we tell you everything you need to know about the podcast that you need to be listening to.
How much fucking caffeine have you had today?
Energy is a choice, and I'm choosing to have it.
I like that choice. I'm Liz Best, and I do not have a lot of energy today.
It's a choice, Liz. You've got to choose to have it. Person who's yet to speak is...
Me. Nick Bleeker, who had chest pain yesterday.
I'm
good though.
Caffeine-induced?
I don't know, actually. I woke up and I had a stinging pain in my chest for the whole day, so I just sort of...
Didn't go to the doctor.
You just sort of did nothing? No. Just ignored it.
Went to work, did my day, got home, made some dinner.
Yep, that sounds like a...
That's the responsible thing to do.
So, mm-hmm. But I'm good today. So,
adulting. You know. You're right. Good today because that particular blockage has passed a little bit, but when it hits your heart, you're...
Oh, absolutely. That's probably what's going to happen. Yeah. So this is my last episode, everyone.
Well, please don't. It's really hard to find new hosts.
Okay. So this is the podcast where we each bring you a podcast that we're going to recommend.
I think you said that really fast before.
Yeah, I did. So I'm just going to take a nice deep breath and say it calmly.
Yes.
So we have a theme this week. We're each going to recommend a live podcast.
Yes. And it was quite hard I wanted to try and find a niche or like a smaller live podcast, but podcasts don't tend to be live
if they don't have an audience
and a following. So
yeah, it's tough.
I mean, I have a few on my list, but they mostly have already recommended. Like I should have kept Dragon Friends for this week.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been a great one. Although you might have killed me because it's Dungeons and Dragons and you're over Dungeons and Dragons
but
now.
But I did like Dragon Friends. So.
Me Liz too, so.
But like... You also could have bought the one that we did for our Ghosts of Podcast Pass, the Dead Authors podcast, which is another really good live one.
The Dead Ladies. I could have done Dead Ladies as well.
Well, Dead Authors is the one I was talking about.
Absolutely.
You know.
But so we're doing each going to recommend a live podcast, and then at the end of the episode, we'll go back and review the podcast that we recommended last week.
That is what we do on this show.
So I'm in charge of this episode, and I want to hear what... Liz has to say.
Look, I'm a feminist, but I only just started listening to The Guilty Feminist.
Rude.
I have been meaning to... This is one of those podcasts that's so listened to that I kind of missed the upswing of it, and so I've been meaning to go back to it. And then when we were looking for live podcasts, I thought... Oh, that's right. That Guilty Feminist podcast is live, isn't it? So, The Guilty Feminist is Deborah Frances White, comedian extraordinaire. It's a podcast. It's been going since 2015, I think. It's kind of like, look, feminism is hard sometimes because life is... paradoxical and
it's
you can be hypocritical
and
so
word.
Many people get cancelled for not being the right kind of feminist. And look, this is why I like this podcast, because it talks about feminist issues but not in a way that's going to shame you if you don't do feminism properly, she says with air quotes. So what I like about it, I'm very slow today, sorry, there's going to be pauses. I've slept for 2.5 hours last night.
We'll forgive you.
Thank you. They usually start the podcast with their guests saying, I'm a feminist, but... And then something completely hypocritical that, you know, like... But I kind of have a crush on my gym instructor and was kind of happy when he had to fix my yoga pose the other day. and you know, just things like that that kind of make you a bit of a shitty feminist, but not in a shaming way. We're all here to say, yeah, sometimes we're not great at it. The format that it has is that usually the guests, you'll have a comedian guest and then like a serious guest. So they do stand up, usually two bits of stand up that are on whatever the topic of the episode is. And then they have like serious chats in the middle. So it's kind of almost like a feminist talk show with stand up acts. So I really like this podcast. I have not been listening to it for nearly as long as I should have as a self-proclaimed feminist.
I just want to flag, I have listened to this before.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So...
You're a better feminist than me? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I was
going
to say,
like, guilty. I am a feminist, but I think I am a better feminist than Liz.
Oh, shit. Okay.
No, I will say, I am a feminist, but I also haven't recommended this yet because I really wanted Liz to...
Great.
I can't make up my mind if that's good that you were letting the lady do it or whether you were like, I'll let the lady
Well, I
have
recommended
show.
This to you. I have recommended this to you outside
that's
of the podcast.
That's true, yeah.
And like it would, it, look, I am getting to the end of my very long list of podcasts that I listen to and have yet to recommend.
Yeah.
So it would have come up eventually. Yeah. But yeah, I
like the vulnerability in this podcast. Yeah. Mm. I like the fact that they talk about all issues that modern feminists should be aware of, and they talk about how sometimes they're a bit insecure about doing what they should do. I was listening to a particularly good episode today that I messaged the boys about, going, look, if you haven't already done your homework or if you've got time for extra, I really liked the episode with Cal Wilson, episode 140 on empathy. It's also kind of sad because they're talking...
They have great guests, though.
They have amazing guests, but one of the guests is... one of the women who was instrumental in getting the Medivac laws where they would evacuate people from
right.
Manus and Nauru happening, and our government, in all its wisdom, has just repealed that law, which basically means that...
Mm-hmm.
So this woman's in tears about how she's so proud of doing this thing that is allowing, you know, people who are sick, who are refugees in what are essentially concentration camps... to be evacuated for medical help, and doctors would get to assess that, but now our government's decided that no politicians should be able to assess that, and that's just shit. So it's kind of a bit of sad timing.
Mm-hmm.
But this just shows that it can be really funny and then very serious. So give it a listen and let us know how you're a shitty feminist.
All right. I look forward to next week where we can all confess.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go next. So the live podcast that I'm recommending this week is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. This is possibly the most popular podcast I've ever recommended.
Really?
Oh, really. Wow. This
legit,
is
I've never heard of this.
Yeah,
this is it's an NPR podcast. It's been going for over 30 years.
What?
Now, not always as a podcast or called a podcast, but NPR been producing this show for 30 years. And
was it like radio
show? Like on their radio, on terrestrial radio, and then they released like CDs or whatever of the best of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and now it's a podcast.
Wow.
Basically, it's a game show where they get celebrities in, or they get celebrities calling in, or they get just people calling in to ask about like current event questions, or comedians to make jokes about current events. So it's it's just kind of like a riff. It's kind of, for those of you who are in Australia, I call it kind of like Good News Week light. It's a bit more structured than Good News Week. It's hosted by Peter Segal. It's very kind of lighthearted and fun. It's NPR, so it's never controversial. It's never kind of heavy-handed. It is very they don't like shy away from, like, they talk about impeachment, they talk about whatever, but it's never
not like
very
Blue
political.
Or
no, absolutely yeah. not. It's fun for the whole family. So Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I really like that title.
Yeah.
So it is, I have recommended specific episodes, but it's much of a muchness because there's good jokes on all episodes, and the celebrities aren't a huge presence in the show, but I have recommended the Leslie Odom Jr. episode. And
Aaron Burr.
Yes. And for Nick, Charlie Day.
My man, I love Charlie. Good friend of mine, I'm just joking.
Yeah, good friend of mine, so fuck you.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I actually have a photo with him. I was at a movie premiere that he was at. Yeah, it was when they were doing Horrible Bosses, and it was him, and I've got a photo with, I just call him Floyd. What's his name? The 30 Rock.
30 Rock?
Yeah. He plays Floyd on 30 Rock. The other guy, Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just my Floyd. I'm sorry. I'm Liz Lemon. He's Floyd. We're going to get married. It's what's going to happen.
You said 30 Rock.
Rock?
I heard Third Rock.
No, not Third Rock. No, like, the other show with Rock
Stewart
in it.
Yeah.
No, not
weird,
French Stewart. No. But Charlie Day, very cool person.
Yeah.
For the 30 seconds in which I met him.
Oh, you have to show me that photo because I'm jealous now.
I will.
I think I'm going to recommend mine, which is pretty much... Zanes, except Australian. So I'm recommending.
did you just ask Zane for his homework notes and he said, yeah, but just change it up a little?
Kind of, sort of. So I'm recommending Have You Been Paying Attention? So it's Channel 10's like podcast version of the TV show.
Ah. Yeah.
Because it translates pretty well into a podcast form. Obviously, it has its visual cues. But if you're not familiar with the show, it hasn't run for 30 years, but it's run by the Working Dog guys. So all the guys that did, you know, Christ, what do they do?
Everything funny they did, in Australia.
Utopia, a lot of ABC stuff. They're just like masters of comedy. So they have a lot of like Australian comedians, international guests coming in, probably not as big as Charlie Day, but it's a good bit of fun and it's like just the Australian version.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so have you been paying attention? There's always on Australian TV a show like this, but it's done by different people at different times and called something different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The only issue I'd say with the show is that it runs with the season that it airs on Channel 10.
Of course.
So there's when the show's on a break on Channel 10, the show's on a break as the podcast. Ugh. So they don't really do specials. So if you tune into the feed, you're going to listen to dated stuff. It's still really funny.
Yeah.
And it's really good to binge if you're looking sort of just to backdate a little bit. But I think my research tells me that it comes out in around May and it lasts till about September, November. So
have they been running the podcast, do you know, for the same length of time as the TV, or was it a late edition?
No. So I found the podcast because a friend of mine recommended it years and years and years ago and I've just listened to it every time it's on. But I think they started during season 5, so 2017.
I'm all about that because who the hell watches TV that's scheduled anymore? Like, ooh, it's 7:30, gotta watch Have You Been Paying Attention? Sorry for the ratings, guys. I'm sure we, podcast ratings still count, right?
Yeah,
that absolutely counts for your funding.
So. Yeah, for sure.
So we're good then.
I'm almost certain that's why they would do it.
Yeah, well,
it's another advertising stream.
I hope they really do. Like, I know that for a while, because I used to work in magazines, that our online clicks didn't count for the same amount of like ratings as actual distribution. But they really need to integrate the hell out of that, because honestly, more people listen to podcasts these days, and if that's not included with the ratings, then something is seriously wrong.
Because it still technically is the show.
It's being
like
consumed.
It really is. Like, you listen to it and you watch the show at the same time, you could sync it up perfectly and it would just be like watching the show, but it's just listening
to it. With a slight echo because you can't press play at the same time. Well,
kind of.
You're a bit special.
Yeah, unless you've got like a lot of time to just sink it
and go. Okay, cool. Yeah. I think I've only watched that show a couple of times. God, I feel like I'm shitting on this show now. I support Australian comedy. I just don't watch TV.
I don't watch TV much. Yeah. Either, so it's only when I'm at someone's house and it's on.
I do quite love watching the faux pas where the comedians really embarrass whatever Z-grade celebrity they actually have on some of the ones where they can't get celebrities.
Like, what is it?
All the Bachelor
I'm a celebrity
people.
Bachelor people. Yeah, yeah. They get roasted. It's good. It's good
it's
for that.
It's so funny. Okay.
All right. Well, let's go back to... Oh, well, let's round out. So I recommended Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Liz.
The Guilty Feminist.
And...
Have You Been Paying Attention? From me, Nick.
And so those are our live podcasts. Tune in next week and we will review them. Let's go back and review what we recommended last week. I think I'm going to start with mine because I'm in charge and I want to know what you thought about Best Judies, which is an LGBTQIA+ podcast based in Sydney, interviewing people in the culture, kind of giving that inner city queer culture vibe to anyone who tunes in to the podcast. So it's Australian, based in Sydney. What did you think?
I love that this exists. I really do. And having lived in Sydney and spent quite a lot of my time around the Potts Point, Kings Cross area, like it really does feel like it encapsulates the vibe that they have there. I really like the hosts. I think they are really personable, really charming. Love the whole "there's no place like homo" at the end. It made me laugh. I listened to one of the ones with the 78er Lance Day talking about when they went on a protest that was about Stonewall was sanctioned by the police. The police had given permission, but then they all got arrested and all this horrible stuff. And it was just so important, I guess, to know the roots of the culture in order to become a better ally, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really quite liked that. And I like some of the lighter episodes as well. I also listened to one about a trans woman realizing the moment when she realized that she was a trans woman, and that's why she'd been feeling so uncomfortable. And it was really sweet because her mum just walked in and went, "How's our little girl doing today?" And she was like, "Oh, I am. Oh." I was like, "Oh my God, your mum got there before you did. That's so great."
Yeah.
Like, it was just so beautiful, and I got a bit teary, and it's great. So it's really nice to hear these stories in an excellent place. The people I think who need to hear these stories won't.
Yeah.
But it is a really great place for the people who are in this culture to be able to feel like they're able to hear stories of people living their best lives.
You know who I think – sorry, Nick. We'll get to you.
Yeah. No, we won't.
What I think this is a great podcast – for accepting parents of kids who have come out and they don't know what they're dealing with, because it's totally honest and upfront and charming, and it's not confrontational at all.
And it's not like super like, here's what you should be doing. It's just talking about
because
people living life.
It's these people figuring out how to deal with all these things as well. Because just because you're gay, that doesn't mean that you know how to navigate this landscape. That is the Sydney gay scene. Nick, what did you think?
I really enjoyed it too. I really, really enjoyed it. I listened to the Carly Rae Jepsen episode, the nightlife one about the Puff Doofs, which I found incredibly interesting because I used to participate in the Sydney nightlife for a while when I was living down there as well, like King's Cross,
Crosspoint,
that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And also the LGBT media only aimed at gay men. I really enjoyed all of it. It's very accessible. I don't know, like, you know, for me, I'm listening to all of this stuff, and to be fair, I'm aware of some of the people who actually guested, like Joel Devereaux and Ruby Slippers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But hearing their perspectives in that sort of controlled environment rather than it just being out, listening to it in that and having those sort of questions, I really loved how quick the hosts were able – I'm blanking on the names – but how quickly they were able to connect and keep the topics from – going a bit too dark. So like with the Puff Doof one, I found it really interesting, even though it was a little bit sort of advertising-y because the guest they had on was someone
organizing it.
But obviously having that sort of perspective is important so you can understand how that sort of stuff operates. But for me, I am going to listen to, like, I've subscribed to it because I'm really excited to see what they're going to do this year, because they haven't released an episode since mid-December. So
yeah, they took a break for Christmas.
Yeah. But for me, I kind of agree the fact that the people that need to, was it like people that need to, that should listen to
that
this?
That need to listen to this the most will not,
which I find kind of upsetting because there's nothing scary or anything about it. I think it's really terrific. Even as someone like me, who's not overly familiar with the LGBTQI+, have I got all that right?
LGBTQIA+.
I knew there was an A. Sorry, everyone.
It's also technically AA+.
AA+. See, you know, getting it all wrong. But it's the same thing in terms of allowing people just like to recommend it, because you just learn some stuff and none of this is scary. Like, I don't know why anyone would be scared of this. I think all of this is incredibly interesting, and I'm absolutely on board for the ride. It was really good.
I've got a friend who has just started dabbling in doing some drag queen stuff, and a few of his friends are not quite, you know, accepting of that. I know.
Drag queens are the best.
Aren't they though? And so this is kind of something, like, they're not horrible about it, but they're just weird about it. So I feel like this is the kind of podcast that I would then tell him, hey, maybe get your friends to listen to some of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's a straight man who wants to do drag.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is fine. His friends are like,
everyone.
So what, you're gay now? No. That's not what it means. But I think this podcast in particular and podcasts like this are very good recommendations for people going through some shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Similar sort of experiences, because my girlfriend's a drag king. She does a lot of drag. So with
I didn't know that. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so when I tell people that, some of the reactions are like, oh, you can get kings? And I'm like, yeah, drag accepts everyone. Like,
yeah, literally, like gay women, straight women, straight men, like, or non-binary people. Like, drag is a performance. Like,
yeah,
it's not a sexuality.
No, not at all. It's literally just a performance. And some of the stuff that I've seen after my girlfriend's sort of gotten into it over the last couple of years has been incredible. The stuff that these people put on is just crazy. But like you said, it was a similar sort of thing. People were kind of like, oh, okay, like a drag
How
king?
Do I navigate
like,
this? What is this?
And I mean, sort of reeling it back to the podcast, like, this is a really good sort of podcast to help navigate that, I guess, whether you know much or
you're dipping a toe in the water.
Yeah, for sure.
Finding out that it's just fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's not scary.
Nah.
It's great.
Good. I'm glad you both enjoyed it because, yeah, this is a really charming podcast and I really hope that they do well because, yeah, this would have helped a lot of people.
I think so too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, let's go to what Liz recommended.
I recommended a podcast called Blackout, which featured Rami Malek as one of the actors, main actors in it, which had like a post-apocalyptic sort of storyline where one day the power just goes out. The phone towers go out, everything goes out, and a lone radio DJ who still has access to a generator is trying to keep everyone calm while everything's falling to shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's by the same people who made Carrier, which was that awesome podcast of 2019.
Yes.
With the great soundscaping.
Q-Code, right?
Q-Code,
yeah.
Yes. What do we think?
I fucking love this. Haven't finished it, but I'm like four or five episodes in. The sound design is unbelievable. I was in the car when there's a sequence early on when a fucking fighter jet flies over.
Yes.
And I was driving. And this car's like this. And I was just like, oh, what the fuck's going on? And I was like, hang on, I paused. And yep. I was like, oh, it's a podcast.
So this came before Carrier, which is why I think they introduced please listen to this with headphones for Carrier.
Yeah, because listening to it on loudspeakers would be, well, I mean, like with, I just did, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
So, but I really loved, I think this, in terms of like an audio drama, I think the pilot for this is probably the best one I've listened to. It sets up and establishes this mystery really, really well. And its characters already have this, I don't know, this sort of nuance to them already. And I also feel like the town feels really lived in. It kind of reminds me a little bit. I haven't seen Twin Peaks except like one fucked up episode in the later season as a joke.
I think most people who haven't binged Twin Peaks have seen one fucked up episode at some point in their lives.
But you do get this really lived in vibe from it all. And I find even the show manages to juggle its perspectives really well. I'm not really thrown by the different story arcs that it's going on. It's really impressive to see how they're able to keep those arcs on the straight and narrow rather than having them sort of go all over the place. And yeah, no, it's really good. I really love this. I'm really excited to finish it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like this one definitely more than Carrier is written like a TV show.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're kind of listening to it. You're familiar with what the pilot is doing. It's setting up and it's not going to tell you much, but it's going to set up what's happening and who it's happening to. I got 2 and a bit episodes in before I had to check out because I was getting very angry just because of the story. Mob violence and mob mentality is a huge trigger for me, and I'm just like, I was not in a place to listen to be triggered. But it's great writing. And the soundscaping, of course, is very good. The plane,
fucking hell,
when it flies over, and then it's not much of a spoiler.
It happens like in the first.
In the second episode, I think when it crashes, you hear it fly over and crash as well.
But in the distance, flown over your head, like it's just such meticulous attention to detail, and I want more of.
And
this.
even like the distance of the voices and what have you, it's. I can definitely see what they learnt from this one that they put into Carrier. Mm.
Yeah. I can see how it would translate. I feel like in terms of where it is narratively, like I said, it balances all those narratives really well, but I feel like they kind of, like you said, learn from it. And when you go into Carrier, it very much is a...
Carrier's an immersive experience.
Yeah.
So I think they definitely discovered like the difficulty of making like a real world... there's no limits soundscape, when so they really limited it to the truck in Carrier.
Yeah.
That being said, I know I noped out of it. I'll definitely be going back when I'm in a better headspace.
Like there's the way that it goes is not quite the way that I thought it was going to go towards the end. Like I thought it was going to be incredibly.
Honestly, it was.
It felt very Salem-y to me at one point. Right. Like
there was two or three characters that, as soon as they came in, I was like, oh no!
You can just tell by the sound of their voice and the twang, the deliverance twang.
Can't do it. Twang. And then as soon as one of the main characters started buying in, I'm like, no, I can't do it. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to this story today. But I mean, that's a part of good writing, I guess.
Yeah. The fact that you weren't like, I'm not engaged. You were engaged enough to know that you needed to nope out. And that's valid.
I really like Rami Malek in this too.
Me too.
He's
got a really calming voice, and I think he was perfect to be the voice of the DJ trying so hard to bring everyone back together.
Because he also produced it, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
So he's a producer actor. Yeah.
Because I feel like even without if they didn't tell, if Kiko didn't say Rami Malek's in this, I would have been like, oh, this is really cool. It sounds like Rami Malek, but he just really, it doesn't stick out to me that it's
even
Rami
knowing
Malek
that
performing.
It was Rami Malek, I didn't pick up.
Yeah, it's tough.
Like, I didn't hear it and go Rami Malek.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he does sort of immerse himself into that really well. Like, he's surprisingly good voice actor. So,
I'm just really happy, that someone of that caliber is interested in audio drama and
so
producing.
There was another one by Q Code that I listened to before I recommended Blackout that I decided not to recommend because I didn't think the storyline was as strong, but the voice acting is just as good. And it's called Gaslight with Chloe Grace Moretz as the lead, and she also produces it. So I don't know if Q Code have this
maybe
a deal.
Producer deal, producer credit kind of thing. It's still a really good story, but it just didn't grip me as much as Carrier and Blackout did.
Hollywood mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and it also just makes me wonder whether Hollywood people are then going to them and going, I would like to make a thing.
Yeah.
And that's why they're producers, or whether they go, okay, well, I'll take less of a fee for producer credit, or like how that works in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It'd be very interesting because I think that's the way that the industry's heading now. Movie stars used to not want to go onto TV, then TV started getting more popular and they started going to TV and then they started going onto streaming.
Yeah.
I think we'll see more and more people in podcasts.
I kind of hope so and also hope not, because I would like to do more podcast voice work for stories.
Well,
and
then you saw people who were on TV go to film.
If Hollywood actors are taking up all my roles, I'm going to cry.
No, right, we'll make our own roles, Liz.
Yeah, it's true.
And they'll be better anyway.
They will be.
All right, well, that leaves us with Nick's recommendation from last week, which was
30 for 30, The Sterling Affair, or just The Sterling Affair.
The Sterling Affair.
It is a bit confusing because it's under the 30 for 30 podcast.
Yeah, thing. I just searched for The Sterling Affair and then went down to this, and then each episode is called The Sterling Affair Part 1, The Sterling Affair Part 2, even though there are other seasons.
So this podcast is produced by ESPN. It's a five-parter that basically talks about the racist piece of shit that is Donald Sterling, who used to own the Los Angeles Clippers. And essentially what happened in 2014 was a tape of him being a racist piece of shit was leaked by his then or current girlfriend, I don't know.
I feel like it would have to have been then after the events that unfolded. Holy shit.
I don't believe they're together anymore.
And don't think you could release that tape to the media and still be with somebody.
Neither
of them are very stable individuals,
not at all. But also it's less about obviously the sport of basketball and more about the race, like the racism and the politics behind a billionaire, being a piece of shit and basically losing his team.
Treating his team like they're slaves. I feed them. Yes. They should be grateful.
Why do I have to buy them shoes though?
Can't they buy their own shoes?
Yeah.
Aren't they grateful that I give them food and they let them play a game on television?
Why do I have to buy strapping tape for their injuries?
Can't they just reuse the same strapping tape? Fuck, man. This guy is an absolute piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I quite enjoyed this podcast because when I first started playing it, I forgot that you'd said that it was more about the races. And I'm like, oh, basketball.
The Clippers were a team and they changed cities. Who cares?
Oh, another podcast about a team who lost their city, lost their team and they moved. And this is great. But then shit started going down and hearing that they actually had the audio from that tape.
Yep.
Like, I kind of was like, whoa, that's bad. Like, I just kept going. It just, every time you thought that the elevator had bottomed out, it just kept dropping lower and lower and lower and lower. Nuts.
He's a fuck.
Good storytelling though too. Like the way that they framed it they start off by telling a fight between the wife and the girlfriend, and that's not until, you know, like I just thought it's like they were taking your hand and kind of guiding you around the path of exactly what they wanted you to hear when, which I really liked.
Yeah.
There were basketball-y bits that I dropped out for because basketball. But then when they started getting back into the
feel about hearing from the players?
I was actually, I'll tell you now, I was genuinely surprised that they got players on to talk about it.
Sorry. No, I was like Nick, very surprised that they got the players because I was just like, wow, this is, especially when they were talking about the stuff that he said about Magic Johnson and they were just like,
yeah,
oh my God. I think it's important to hear from both sides, honestly.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. I really love that they got the players because stuff that he said or the way that he treated them, I feel it would have been really poor taste not to have the players.
Well,
but
yeah.
You could kind of tell that
the players weren't... Well, you can't just shit talk somebody and not have someone speak from their actual experience, you know?
But I feel I did get the feeling that the players weren't really sure what they could say and why they should be doing it.
As soon as that tape recorder was switched off, I want to hear what went on in that room, because I swear to God, if they weren't swearing about what a racist mother effer this guy
absolutely.
Was, like...
Yeah,
and I've never heard of him before, and this was just, and they're like, I was like, 2014, that was like recent. Who says these? And he was saying these things to his mistress, who was Latina.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was just a little feminine Latina girl. She's not meant to hang around with black people and bring black people to his games. Like all players. Look, yeah. So I was aware of Sterling before this, because when the whole thing happened, it was in the news.
In
I
the
was aware of it,
yeah.
I didn't know the whole thing about the basketball stuff that happened beforehand with the Clippers moving to LA and him basically just running a bargain basement basketball team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Telling everybody that he was planning on tanking the team so we could get better draft picks. Like
heckling his own team from side.
He's
of
like
the court.
The Donald Trump of basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just
he's on record in this as saying he wants to be like Donald Trump. which is mind-boggling, and like it does just come down to billionaires behaving badly. Like this is just a documentary.
I just imagined him. I and no disrespect to Leonardo DiCaprio, but this means that he's played a good role. I pretty much was just imagining Leo's character in Django Unchained standing at the top of a plantation, being like, "Why do I have to buy them socks? Can't they buy their own socks? Aren't they grateful that I put a roof over their heads?"
That being said. I did like this, and I did listen to the whole thing. Again, made me very angry, but I got through it. I think the only criticism I have is the same thing that I had with Kelly Lane Problem Child. I think they had a lot of information, and they tried to give you all of it more than once, which
maybe that's why I tuned out, because I often found myself tuning in and out every now and then, and I had just attributed that to sport, but maybe it's because I'd heard
stuff
before.
They kind of kept coming back to the white party and I know that it was different white parties, but like kind of explained what the white party was all the time and all of that, but you know it's still very worth listening to because like Liz said, 2014.
That's so not right.
It's still fucking recent.
Yeah, recent. This kind of mentality is still present in people who control a lot of not only just real estate, which is what he is in, and he was known for being a slumlord, et cetera, et cetera. But
benevolent old white fuckwits.
Yeah. So, yeah, I recommend it. Mm. Absolutely.
I will be finishing it. I have not yet. But I will be finishing it. It's probably the first sports adjacent podcast that I will ever finish. So props to you,
Hang
Nick.
On to it being sports adjacent.
Yes. It's not sports. It's adjacent. It's racist.
Okay. Well, so that is three big wins this week. So thank you for joining us once again. If you want to... send your podcast our way. If you have a podcast or you enjoy someone else's podcast and you want us to have a listen and see if we want to recommend it, you can find us on the web at thatsnotcanon.com/castology, where there is a form that you can fill out. Or you can find us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. And you can, so Liz will probably be answering you if you go there. I'll answer the email.
If you want to chat on Facebook, I'm here for a chat. Sometimes.
I do have
a life.
If you submit, we can't guarantee that we will recommend it, but we will definitely listen to it. Do that. We'll be back next week with more recommendations and a review of our live podcast from this week. So I recommended Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR, Liz.
Guilty Feminist.
And Nick.
Have you been paying attention?
Did we just do the thing where we just say the stuff that we did too many times?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until next week, I've been Zane here with
Liz
and
Nick.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi there, my name's Jessica Kate.
And I'm Ellen Rose.
And we're the hosts of Murder in the Land of Oz,
a new Australian true crime podcast.
Yes. We're starting off in Brisbane, our hometown, because
relatable.
We're going to be coming to you every second Monday.
So give us a listen, give us a like,
and a subscribe. Come and join us on our journey where we explore the depths of True Crime Australia. Oh, yeah.